today, you know, what I'm going to obviously share about is just really some spiritual wisdom as far as like practical wisdom. And to give you some background about myself, the first thing is I actually did not come from a family of money. I actually grew up with no money. My brother and I, when he was raising me, you know, we actually had to take our penny jar and like wrap pennies to like, you know, spend at Burger King for food. And like ramen is still my probably least favorite thing to eat, but frozen pizza is actually my favorite thing to eat. Kirkland brand, actually, because you can get them for like $15 and it comes with four and it's like $3 for a whole pizza. But anyway, so that's you know, kind of just, you know, my background is I didn't actually grow up with a whole ton of money or no money at all. I also graduated from college with a math and history degree. I've got some friends from college here who I've known for 16 years now, and if you asked them that 16 years ago today, like, that I would be kind of talking about stuff to, you know, preaching and starting businesses and stuff like that, they would probably be like, no way. They've got some good stories about me. Don't ask them today, but that kind of goes to show you is that whatever you graduated in is that you don't have to have, like, to go to seminary to be able to minister to his people. And so that's kind of what I graduated with. Currently now I own three businesses. One is a successful financial planning practice. Pastor Deb, yay. As you can see, she's actually part of my staff and my team. And one of the first things that I told Pastor Deb when she started working with me is everything that we do is our ministry. The financial planning practice is our ministry. We're ministering to clients. The people that we reach are really part of our ministry. Anything that we do within our company is always going to be a ministry, and that we're an extension of God. And until you guys really realize that our jobs are not our own, it's truly a privilege to be able to go out and get up and work and help people every day. It's a blessing that we're able to go to school and figure out new things so that we can help minister to our body. That's a privilege every single day for us. So I've been a financial planner for 12 years now. I've got I am a certified financial planner, several other designations. I also, one of my other companies that I just started is I'm a personal trainer. I used to play basketball in college, but you know, also want to minister to people from a health standpoint. And then like Pastor Keith was saying, is this actually was birthed from one of our first missions trips that Pastor Keith took me out on in 2010 was Agape Impact. One of the things that we really strive to do with our nonprofit company is allow people who are LGBT and wanting to minister to LGBT people go out and be missionaries. And so that's part of the stuff that we're working on, and know that anything that we have and that we have or that we have built is truly because of God. And I, you know, want to make sure that I give all my glory to Him. But what you'll notice is I put up Chronicles 29:14, and this is David speaking, and he says, "But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand." And he's talking about the Israelites. He's talking about the chosen people, that everything that they've produced, all of their herds, all of their sheep, is God's. And what they did with that is that they gave it to God and was able to build a temple. Now imagine if we gave everything that we earned, what type of temple we would be able to build for God. Just imagine that. So with that, you know, I want you guys to really have the first thing in your head that what you have is not your own. We are stewards, meaning we don't have ownership in it. We're stewards, meaning we're meant to manage over it. Okay, so know that first. Now, my title should have been "We Are in the Business of Multiplication," but you know, oh well, we're here. But so the first is really understanding what multiplication really means. And I went to Webster's Dictionary for this. And definition of multiplication is to increase or cause to increase greatly in number or quantity. And, you know, multiplication in the Bible is, yes, you know, we can talk about our tithes and offerings. And it actually says in the Bible, 1/10 of our first fruits. So when we kind of just break it down really simply, and again, Pastor Keith knows that I just like to be really straightforward, is if you make $50,000, 10% of that, take your calculator out, and it's 50,000 times 0.10, that is what you're actually your tithe. Anything above and beyond that tithe is an offering. So I read it in a sense that, okay, you make $50,000. That doesn't include the deduction that comes for health insurance, the federal taxes that come out, the 401k contribution. It is your first fruit. That's what we are supposed to tithe on. And then the second piece is discipleship. We are in the business of multiplication, guys. We are supposed to disciple. If we hold everything inside, our church will not grow. And I'm not talking about TGPA. I'm not talking about, what's here in these four walls. But it is the kingdom that is supposed to be multiplied. So with that, we're going to talk about multiplication. But here's the thing is that what God really wants you to know is through your tithe, God, you know, took care of his people. Through the giving piece is God wants to bless his people. So, and here's an example is that through your tithe pays for the lights in this building, the walls, the internet, this thing that we've had for 10 years now, that I barely know how to use still. Still, it is taking care of our pastor's stipends. But then what it's allowing us to do when we tithe is blessing others. Can you imagine if our pastor was only here for 1 hour a week or 3 hours a week? I mean, I really want you guys to think about that. Is what we have the privilege to do is to continue to bless other people. And so with that, know that your tithe and your offerings are really important. And the other pieces, again, we've got to be able to understand of discipleship. So it says, therefore, go out and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So again, discipleship. This is all about discipleship. This is really not about finances. We'll have stuff about finances. But it's really getting to a point where we're able to disciple to other people. And so one of the things I really want you guys to ask yourselves is, what is it that you're supposed to do and give to his kingdom? So I'm going to repeat it again. What are you guys called to do? And then what do you think God is telling you to give? We know in the Bible it says a tithe, but are we actually doing that? There's usually about 80 people or 100 people here today, and Pastor Deb and I did the math, right? Is that, let's just do an average of $20,000. You know, every average of this room, we all make $20,000. 10% of 20,000, Pastor Deb, is what? $2,000 times 80. That's $160,000. Guys, Karen, who's part of our board, stood up here last, in January. We barely bring in $120,000, $140,000 per year. There is no way that a room full of 80 to almost 100 people, we can't be tithing. Really, what are you supposed to be giving and what are you supposed to do for God? Now, let's talk about financial ways to actually, you know, give to his kingdom. So the first thing is just do it. So how many of you guys all love Nike? Just do it. Woo. All right. So just start giving 10% of your income. One of the things that we talked about Pastor Deb and I earlier this week on Monday is that people mull and think about things that they're really not, that's just taking up mind space. And I was reading this article that some of the best and most successful people in the world have less decisions in their life because they stick to a routine or they make decisions just, you know, based on what it's supposed to be. And the first is just do it. If God's telling you to do it and it's part of the Bible, why not just do it? Second thing is everybody needs to write this website down. It's smile.amazon.com. And I want you to bookmark this. How many people in here use Amazon? All right, almost all of you guys use Amazon. When you go to smile.amazon.com, it's going to ask for the charity of your choice, and I want you to put in Gathering Place Atlanta. And for every $10, and for every $10 that we spend in Amazon, it'll give us 5 cents. Now, you think, okay, well, that's not enough, but if we do this for 2 years, 3 years, 4 or 5, as long as Amazon's around, Amazon's not going away, y'all. How much more money will the Gathering Place have? Just by stuff we're already doing. Okay, so if you guys shop at Amazon, use smile.amazon.com because that's the only website that's going to allow us to give back to the church through our spending. Okay, and you can link in your Amazon Prime and everything like that. The third way is that there's a company matching program. So for some of you guys, you might actually have employers who will match your tithes or match your donations. So if you go in, make sure you find out from your employers if you can do this. But you can actually, if you donate 10%, that means your company might actually donate 10%. And that's 100% rate of return. That's basically twofold of what we're already doing. So again, if you're putting in $2,000 and some corporation or company can give the Gathering Place $2,000, why not do that? Okay, so you've got to talk to your HR people about that. And then lastly, Pastor Keith just sent out an email, and Michael and Hector have so graciously offered to rent a booth for consignment. So if you've got stuff that you're going to give away anyway, and that's, you know, to Goodwill or stuff that can be used, give it to them instead, because any sales actually profit our church. Michael, are they here? Okay, so they're working the booth today. Wow. So help, help, help. Obviously, it's a lot easier, you know, to say and be done. And so what I want to address today are the financial hindrances that basically people have when it comes to being able to minister and make disciples. First is lack of having a plan. The second one is being in debt. The third is lack of savings and investing. And then last is fear and lack of knowledge. And so I'm going to go through all four of these for us, because if any of these are the things that some of you guys are thinking of, man, I can't tithe because of this, or I can't do my offering because of this. These are probably the top four things in all the industry and all my 12 years of experience as a financial planner that I've seen people struggle the most with. And so the first is lack of having a plan and a vision. So the Bible verse here is Habakkuk 2:3. And what it says is, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets, so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and not delay. So all it's saying is just write down your vision. There's actually a Dominican University study about this. And some people may have heard of it called the Harvard study or Yale study. The Harvard and Yale study actually do not exist, but the Dominican University study does. And what it says is that people who have written goals achieve significantly more than people who do not have their goals written. Okay? So if you've got a journal or a computer or whatever it may be, make sure you're writing down your vision. Because the Bible says, even though it may tarry, meaning you'd have to wait for it, it is surely to come. So the second piece there is people with written goals and has an accountability partner. So you've not only just written your goals, but now you have somebody to hold you accountable, are actually significantly more able to achieve that goal than the people who just wrote it down. So If you're trying to save for retirement or get out of debt or save for whatever it may be, a vacation, do it with somebody who's doing the same thing. I made this joke last week. The sum of two negatives are still a negative. And you know, I've got a math degree and I still can't really explain why negative two times negative two is positive. And y'all can Google it. But that's what it is. It's just truth, okay? But the moral of the story is, pick people who hold you accountable. Hang around folks who are wanting to better themselves. Stay with the people who are also trying to multiply the kingdom, who are doing God's work. But you know, the thing is that some of my best friends are people who actually don't go into this church. But what I do know is that what I'm wanting to do is multiply. Some of my best friends aren't Christians, actually. But what I want to do is I want to multiply. And I know that they're doing well in their businesses. They're trying to strive for greatness in their other areas of their life. But I want to be around those people. I want to be around people who are also thinking the same way that I'm thinking. And so pick people, surround yourself with positive people who aren't just going to drag you down. And then two do's. So part of these are all you guys will have to do. So the first to do is pray about what God wants in your life. There are a lot of times we just write things down and it's really not God. But we want to write things that we want to pray about what God truly wants in your life. And then the second thing in terms of a budget in financial standpoint is write down your income, write down your expenses, and then create your budget. It's basically what do you have coming in, what do you have going out, and whatever money is left over, that's what you get to play with and pour towards that vacation. Okay? And then lastly, figure out what it takes, what you need to do to get to your goals. Now, Pastor Keith mentioned Agape Impact. We started that 7 years ago in 2010. I just got the 501c3 this year. It's 2017, guys. I had to write this goal down and wait for it for 7 years. And I've not talked much about it. I've talked some about it over the last 7 years. But those are things that you know if God has called you to do it and he's wanting you to do it, it's going to happen. You've just got to pray about it. You've got to refer back to it. You've got to continue to sow into it. If God wants you to retire, which I do think he does, right? You pray about it. You write it down. You figure out what you need to get to, save to do, go do it. Talk to somebody. Educate yourself. Okay. So that's having a plan and having a vision. Now, let's talk about debt. Second biggest hindrance, and it actually takes two slides of my presentation, whereas everything else takes one. But let's talk about definition of debt. So something typically money that is owed or due. All right, let's talk about the types of financial debt. You've got credit cards, including store cards, so Macy's, Kohl's, Express, Apple, you know, all those places. Anything that's in collections, so if you did not pay an AT&T bill or a Verizon bill from 10 years ago and it's in collections and you're wondering why it's still open, it's because you still owe it. I'm for real. You guys can all actually get your free credit report every once a year. And I think it's freeannualcreditreport.com. And you can check it for free. And if you see something from 10 years ago that's still there, it's yes, you still owe it. The third is mortgages. So, of course, you know, if you want to buy a house, you can have a mortgage. You've got student loans, car loans, and basically any other type of loan, personal loan, you know, something that you owe to someone or something. Now, let's talk about how people get into debt. Pretty simple. It's overspending. Okay. So, let's talk about the biggest question that why I think people are overspending is, what are you trying to fill in your life that you're not letting God fill for you? So I have Christina and Amazon on here. I know that I'm stressed or I am not feeling up to par when I start shopping on Amazon. And so boxes show up and she's like, oh, what did you buy? I'm like, I don't know. So it shows up. I'm like, she's like, oh, another package came. Oh, okay. During those times, I'm not the person who will, you know, when I'm stressed, I go eat, or she gets cheesecake when she's stressed. I'm not that person. I just go and shop on Amazon. Because one, I don't have to go out, and then it just shows up at my door. No traffic, so I'm saving money because I don't have to drive. But when it really comes down to it is, I've noticed this because now I can figure out, okay, what am I stressing about? And now I can direct my thoughts and prayers to God. Are you spending your money on going out? Are you dining 5 times a week? If you guys like actually calculate your dining bill, let's say you spend $10 every day, Monday through Sunday, Sunday through Saturday. That's $70 a week. Like, that's a lot of money. Danny will tell you she has a Starbucks budget. But seriously, why are you going out to eat? Why are you needing to spend on this extra pair of socks? That's the thing, is that what are you overspending on? I tell this all the time. What are you trying to fill in your house that you're not letting God do? So I'm going to leave that sentence now and go to the next slide. And the Bible says we should not be in debt, and it's true. The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is slave to the lender. Why do we want to stay in bondage? We choose to stay in bondage when we choose to live in debt. Did you guys know that generationally, that if your parents were in debt, you could potentially be in debt? But why do you want to stay like that? Guys, if your parents were in debt, that doesn't mean you guys have to be in debt. If your grandparents were in debt, or whoever raised you, if they were in debt, that does not mean you have to be in debt. You don't need to be a slave to that. I meet with hundreds of people every year, and they are slaves to their debt. They're working to pay off their debt. And I say in some circumstances and instances, sometimes, and again, I understand this, is sometimes, you know, we can't help it, and there's some instances. So I'm not talking about that, but it's when we choose to live and use our cards and use and go negative for getting to hang out every weekend. Okay. The second is the wicked borrows but does not pay back, but the righteous is generous and gives. So I talk about collections. I see a lot of this too sometimes. Is if it's in collections, guys, you still owe it. It's not going to be wiped off clean. It's true. And it can affect your credit score. So that's the 7 years piece. If it's still open and the company actually has it on your as a line item and it says open, even if it's from 10 years ago, they expect their money. Now, here's a tip around this, is that you can call these companies and ask for forgiveness. You can ask to be settled out, and you can find ways to reduce, you know, what you owe. But you can fix your credit, and don't let it affect you, and don't be slave to it. One of the things that you guys should know in terms of a missions organization, one of their biggest financial requirements is that you have to be completely out of debt before you can go into ministry, or that you can be sent abroad, or almost out of debt. So if you have a mortgage, your house has to be sold, or you have to find renters to make sure you're covering that expense. In a missions organization, as a ministry, you have to have very little expenses before you go out. Now, why do you guys think that is? It's because, primarily, they want you focused on ministering. They don't want you abroad or in Ecuador or Honduras or, you know, all these other places in Thailand, you know, worrying about your credit cards. They want you fully focused on what God wants to do in your life and to be able to be used so you can minister into somebody who needs it. So know that we are a missions organization. We are called to go out. So if you want to minister, let's figure out a way to pay it off, but then start focusing on his people. And then, again, to do's, best ways to pay off your current credit card debt. And by the way, stay away from opening those store credit cards. They've got the highest interest rate credit cards that are out there, 29%, 23%. If you're not going to pay it off, don't open it. Okay, but the best ways to pay off credit cards. So the first is highest interest rate card first. So this is what is called the snowball effect. So you pick your highest, you list them out, write down all your credit cards, and highest interest rate, you pay the most amount of money towards that, and then you pay the minimums on everything else. And then once that highest rate card is paid off, you take that money and do it to the second one. Now, so let's suppose you have a bunch of little ones. The second way is pick the smallest balance and get a win. So if you've got one that's $100, go ahead and pay that off, get a win, and then start focusing on the big highest interest rate card. Okay. So that's your debt slide. So let's stay out of bondage, let's get out of it, and really focus on what God has for us in the future. The third is lack of savings and investing. So we've heard a lot about Matthew and the parable of the talents. And I'm just going to go through it real quick. Is the moral of the story here is that he has basically three people that he's come across. The first he gives five talents to. The second he gives two talents to. And the last he gives one talent to. During that time frame, the guy who has five talents, he goes out, trades with it, he ends up with five more, okay? The person who has two talents, he actually goes out, trades with it, and ends up with two more. So now he has four. But the person who has one talent hides it and digs it into the ground, doesn't do anything with it, and basically ends up with zero. Now, here's what happens. The master comes back. The master says to the person with the one talent, why didn't you go do anything with it? And basically, he takes his one talent and gives it to the guy at the very top. So now the guy who had 10 talents has 11. And the response with the one talent says, well, you know, master, you reap from places that you didn't necessarily sow into. So let me repeat that. The guy who says with one talent and now ends up with zero is, master, you reap from places that you didn't sow into. Who shops at Target? Everybody. Did any of you guys start Target? No. We all shop at Target, but this is how investing works. Very simply put is, you can go to Target and either invest in their stock, and they will basically share in their growth and dividends and pay you some interest, or you can just shop at Target and get nothing back in return. Daniel went to Target, and by the way, sometimes Target can be the devil. And this is about, you know, discipline and spending. She went to Target for one thing. This morning, she came back with two things. How many of you guys go into Target and do that same exact thing? But we didn't need that. But you see how we got one thing, we dig it in the ground, we spend our money with it, but we think it's going to help us. I guarantee you she's going to throw those socks away in like 6 months. This happened right before church, too. So I knew, and my presentation had already been sent, so I knew that was a confirmation that I should keep Target in here. is, yeah, we can take that one thing that we have and then go spend it at Target and get nothing back in return, or we can choose to invest. And that's how investing works, is that we can invest in stocks, we can invest in mutual funds, and we can allow these companies who we didn't start, we didn't sow to start Target or Exxon or Apple, but we surely have all these iPhones and we need gas in our car. In the simplest way as possible, when we invest, we are actually reaping in something that we did not sow into. Okay? So that's basically the simplest form of investing into the Bible. Let's talk about places to invest. So everybody has some form of 401k, 403b, 457s, places like if you work for the government, you know, pensions, different things like that. So one of the things that you could, one of the things that you should know is the simplest recommendation that we always make is, does your company give you a match? So if your company says, if you put in 5%, we might give you 5% too. That's free money, guys. As much as Deb and I work on helping our clients, I can never guarantee 100% growth, but sometimes companies are able to do that. If you put in 5, they give you 5. Or if you put in 5, they give you 3. You want to immediately take advantage of that. Don't let, again, debt hinder you from and stop investing or savings toward your future. The second place you can invest are individual retirement accounts. There are different types, Roth, traditional, rollover IRAs that you have the ability to invest into. And then in all of these things, inside of all of these accounts, you can buy different types of investments. Now, the deal with anything when it comes to ministry or finances is we need to be consistent. If you want to see it grow consistently, you want to be consistent and treat it like a bill. Out of sight, out of mind. If you can't see it in your bank account, you can't spend it. So immediately start saving. And then some people have the ability to automatically increase. So if you get a raise, if you get 3% raise, send that to your savings account immediately. Don't get used to bringing it into cash flow. Or split it. So send it half to savings and half to the rest of your bills. Okay. And the last piece is fear and lack of knowledge. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For the spirit God gave us does not make us timid or fearful, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline." If you're scared to one tithe or offer, ask yourself why. If you're scared to plan for your future or save for your future, ask yourself why. Is it fear that's really ruling over your heart or your mind? Because what we know is our God is powerful, He's grateful, and He's our provider. If you fear that you don't know where your next meal is going to come from, know that God will provide it. There are many a times where I didn't know where my next meal was going to come from. But God so graciously provided through friends, through family, through whomever. So please don't let the fear get in your way of being able to bless others or bless yourself or getting to a place where you can minister. Ask yourself why and pray against that fear. Secondly, in Hosea 4:6, "My people are destroyed from the lack of knowledge." And this is God talking to the Israelites. Now, you guys know the Israelites, right? They took 40 years to walk and get to a place that should have only taken 11 days. Why are we going to buy something that should only take us 2 weeks or 3 months to pay off, and it takes us 7 years to pay off? Makes no sense. But lack of knowledge is having an understanding what's available to you. You know, a lot of people are like, "Oh, Christine, I don't know what this information says." Well, ask questions. Ask your HR. Ask your people that are provided to you at your employers. We need to be knowledgeable in what we have and the privilege that's been given to us. And so, you know, second is educate yourself, ask questions, have self-discipline. Getting out of debt requires discipline. Guys, it is okay to say no. Everybody say no.
No.
Use that the next time somebody's trying to take you out and you're like, girl, I am trying to budget. Right? I want to go to Applebee's. Well, one, Applebee's has 1,000 calories in just their drinks. Right? And it's not part of my budget. I'm for real. Danny is really, truly on a Starbucks budget. I lectured her about it this morning. Girl, why are you spending that money on Starbucks? And I did get one, too. You see? She dragged me down with her. Anyways, today, your to-dos. One, continue to educate yourself about your finances. Be knowledgeable of what's coming out of your paycheck. Don't just be signing up for all these things. So don't do that. So educate yourself about certain things. Take the time to read about those things. Secondly, ask questions. Again, ask your HR person. If they don't know it, ask, you know, but you guys can ask us. So Pastor Deb knows we as a company are ministering to our people. So if you guys have questions, you're more than happy to come talk to us. But know that we actually write everything down. We try to practice as much as we preach. We review all of our goals. We write down everything that we do in the company. But ask questions. Third is have self-discipline. Like we said, it takes consistency. You have to be able to say no. It's going to hurt, and you're going to sit there and be Netflixing by yourself. But there are some really great shows. So have self-discipline to say no. And you know what? For all those other people, Netflix together. Play board games together. Fourth is let God fill you. Next time, ask yourself, do you really need this? And why are you buying this? Are you doing it just to buy it? Why are you going out to eat every day? What are you trying to fill? Are you trying to fill in loneliness? What is it that you're trying to fill? But let God fill you. I told somebody this a while back, is I dated God for 90 days. And that was probably the best time I had, is knowing and dating God, is let God continue to fill you and show his face to you and reveal himself to you. And then lastly, tithe, and be a blessing to others. I can't stress to you guys the importance of your obedience in this area. There are people that are currently being reached right now in all parts of the world right now because of the people who've sowed into this church, the current blessings that you guys have sowed into this church. Though we can't see it, but some of you guys are the fruit of those tides. Tracy came from Meetup Group. That cost $400 a year. But look how much she's been a blessing to us. People are watching. People are here for you. You just don't know yet. So I stress to you the importance of tithing and really, truly blessing the church and blessing it. That's all I've got.